rest of us, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We're back and we're getting towards the end of this great book, Hebrews chapter 13. And we'll be looking at and thinking about Christian living this morning, Christian living. And as we're turning once again towards the end, we know that the author has laid out some of the best, some of the deepest theological and doctrine in the first 12 chapters of Hebrews. And then when he gets to chapter 13, we continue on with the moral exhortations or applications or life principles that we can apply from this great book. And why do we do that? Because here's the deal. We can understand the Scripture all we want, but until it's applied to our lives, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? But when we understand the principles of God's Word and then we apply it to our life, you know what we do? We live in obedience to God's Word. And that's what the author's really, he's speaking to these Jewish believers, these Hebrews, because the truth is of the matter is, storms are coming. Does everybody understand in life, can you say amen, that life is full of storms? All of us. And so for this church, Rome is on the horizon. The Roman, the persecution of Nero, and it was going to cost these believers to be a Christian and to proclaim Christ. And so he's encouraging them that, listen, and really the whole highlight of this section that we'll be looking at here, and we'll read it in just a minute, he's talking about, and he's encouraging the Jews not to turn back to legalism, not to turn back to their traditions, not to turn back to this old covenant that God, he's shown for 12 chapters that God, and when he brought Christ, that he, not only he didn't abolish it, but he added to it, he fulfills the Old Testament and the New Testament in Christ. He said, don't go back. Don't go back to the legalism, because the Jews believed if they did this and they did that, and it didn't matter. The Pharisees were the world's worst for that. It didn't matter about their heart or their thoughts or their motives, but as long as the outside, external was okay, it didn't matter about the internal. Christ came to crush that. I want you to know this morning, you can look as good as you can. You can dress up on Sunday. You can act like a Christian today. But if it doesn't affect you when you step outside of these doors, is it true Christianity? Do we truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ? And that's what he's encouraging them. Don't go back. I want you to know the new covenant comes with very high standards, by the way. Very high standards to live by. But it doesn't involve ceremonies or rituals or holy days or formalities that the Jewish, it doesn't have anything to do with the kosher eating that they were about food. You'll see him mention this. Certain foods that they ate that made them right with God. Certain ceremonies, certain things that they did. And these formalities, they thought that is what they staked their whole belief in Christ in. Aren't you glad that Jesus came? And we do have liberty in Christ. But I'm going to tell you, that liberty comes with high standards. It's not this tearing down that we can do any old thing that we want to. But there's a biblical standard that he has given us that we are to live by today. Aren't you grateful for that? So I want us to think about that. Let's take our Bibles today. If you've got a copy of God's Word, stand if you, whether it's electronic or maybe there's a pew Bible in front of you. Take up and turn to chapter 13 of Hebrews. Why is that important? So that we see today that I'm preaching you, thus says the Word of God. And that's why it's important. That is your place to keep me accountable to preaching and teaching you what God's Word says. Hebrews chapter 13, starting here at verse 7, it says this, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the Word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have no profit, those who have been or by those who have been occupied by them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought to the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the camp. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." Therefore, by him, let us continue to offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray right now for every person that's in this room. They're not here by coincidence, but in your divine providence, we are here to worship. I pray, dear God, that you'll touch a heart. If somebody that don't know you as personal Savior, this will be the day. If somebody is struggling, God, with some whatever it might be, that God, their struggle will be laid at the altar today. Whatever you want to do, you have free reign. We ask these things for the glorification of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for in his name we ask it. And all God's people said, you may be seated. So this idea, these final instructions as we're finishing up this great book on Christian living, I want us to think about some instructions. First, be steadfast in our faith. Be steadfast in our faith, verses 7 through 9. It says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with food, which has not profited those who have been occupied with them. So the first thing he says, be steadfast in your faith. How's your faith this morning? Be steadfast, he says in that. How do we do that? How do we stay steadfast in our Christian living? Well, first he says, remember your leaders, verse 7. What is he saying? Those who have come before us. Great examples. Think about those that have filled these pews. Man, you guys could stand up for a while, the rest of the service, and talk about people that have come and gone and served at South Fork Baptist Church. Some of your relatives and grandparents and parents and all these things that have went before us and lived out, carried their baton here in Todd. He says, remember those that have gone before us, that have taught us, has given us as examples. This journey called life, again, is full of hardships. Did they have hardships? Yes. That's life. How did they get through those hardships? The same way we do. But we're steadfast in our faith. We think about those that have come before us and the hardships that have gone on, but we're encouraged. You know, he's talking about the sail. He's talking about a ship and sailing many times through Hebrews. He says, set your sails, go through the, be encouraged to sail through the storms. Be encouraged to go forward. Be encouraged in this time of your life to make much of Jesus, because they did. Remember our leaders. Don't just remember, but consider what they spoke and what they lived before us. That they've departed to go on home. They're with Christ now. And so it has fallen to us to be that example. Many young people coming behind us. So many of the younger generation is disenchanted with the church. Why? Because it is not giving them anything relevant. The people that go there are no different from the people of the world, but yet they want to point their finger at them on Sunday and say, you need to do this, you need to do that, and they go outside these walls and it doesn't make a difference in their life. Who in the world wants a Christianity like that? No wonder that we're losing 7 out of 10 by the age that are 23 years old, because they've seen church people act worse in the world. Can anybody say amen? We need to be what God's called us to be. We need to remember those leaders, those that have went before, who established the foundation. There's a whole, I call it the Hall of Fame, pictures of pastors that come before. I go by, and I'm not making fun, I salute them. And when I go by, why? I say, thank you. Thank you for your investment in this body of believers that I love dearly, that this community that I love dearly. Thank you for your investment. For those that are about to preach, we salute you. Thank you. Remember our leaders. Consider. Remember, consider. But listen, also it says further, but imitate those whose faith follow, it says. Consider the outcome, and consider the outcome of their conduct. Did they live well? Did they make a great testimony? Was Christ in their life? He says, imitate that. Imitate that. And so when I think about this, and I think about that, I look at the people that went before me, and I consider their life, and I imitate their walk, I realize, guess what? I need to be that example as well for those coming behind me. These kids that stood up here and praised the Lord, and that don't touch your heart. Nothing. No, man, I said, I ain't going to get tore up. But it fills your heart when you think about the song. They need examples. One day they'll be standing and talking about those that have come before. And so we are to follow those. Follow in the footsteps. You know what I'm going to tell you this morning to do? Don't worry about leaving your 401k or whatever you're loading up for them. Leave them a legacy of Christ. It's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing. Leave them a legacy of Christ for those that are coming after us. Set the example. It's very important, I think, here that also the author is probably referring back to, remember the heroes of the faith, chapter 11, and how it talked about those that have been martyred, those that had given their life for Christ's sake. See, remember those heroes of the faith, those that stood whenever everybody else was crumbling. Kill for their faith. Imitate, he says, be willing to give your life for the faith if that's what it takes. Nero's coming, remember? Rome's coming. One of the greatest persecutions of the church is going to come to this body of believers before you know it. And he's saying, he's encouraging them. He said, remember, stay steadfast. I want you to know discipleship, and that's what we're supposed to be about as God's church, is discipling others, making disciples, the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things that I've taught you is what the Great Commission tells us. Discipleship consists of living our lives before others in such a way that they learn not only by what we teach, but how we live. Hello? Considering the outcome of their conduct. So we remember being steadfast in our faith. We remember our leaders. But second, look at verse 8. We remember our Savior. It says, look, what does he say? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Why is this placed right here? Because he's already told them, listen, the world, and we know that it's changing all the time. How much have you seen it change in your lifetime? It's constantly changing, and it seems like the storms get worse, but there's one thing that never changes. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In a vacillating world that seems like it's constantly changing, our Savior stays the same. Aren't you glad? He stays the same in this world that can be. Think about the life cycle. Man, we're born. Aaron's got that little baby there, that beautiful little baby that's born. And we see these babies, and they're born, their skin is so soft. They're so precious, so beautiful. And look, I was one of those at one time. You say, what happened? That's what I'm saying. Time happens. Time in our life cycle. Listen, our life cycle is so short. I saw a statistic this week. I was reading somewhere, and it says the average lifespan is like 73 years old. Some of those of y'all have outlived that. Some of others are going on and not here with the Lord. It's such a small period of time that, of that life cycle. You know why? Listen, we're born, we live, we laugh, and we die. Come on. But it's within this cycle that God has given us a way of eternity. Within those few short years, He's given us a way of eternal life. Please hear that. Eternal life or eternal death. Within that short period of time, every child, every boy, every girl, every woman, every man, within that short time span, has a chance to change, either choose eternal life or eternal death. Heaven or hell. And that's what He gives us. He gives us this cycle that we have, and we can see it in our own life. It's very short, but He says, remember this. You can look at yourself and change, but there's something that's unchangeable this morning. That's our Savior. Aren't you glad in a world that vacillates and changes that there's one thing that's unchangeable? One day when I leave this old world, I'll stand before that very Savior. That was the same way in eternity past, will be the same way in eternity future. He's the same. He's consistent. I'm so glad that we have that Savior. Don't forget now, I want you to see He correlates these two together, because remember our leaders. They went on before as they've lived and died. But also remember, He said, don't focus on them. Focus on the Savior. He's that one thing that in our life that is stable. He's that one anchor. Yes, people come and go. Live and die. But the Savior is forever. And because of the Savior, we can have life and have it more abundantly in Him.
He comes not only to save us, but to give us purpose and a plan. Do you struggle with purpose and plan? You ever ask yourself, why am I here? What's my life about? The answer to that is in the relationship with Jesus Christ. He's the same. The consistency. The great storm is coming to the church, and we remember those that have gone on, but we remember most of all, we focus on our Savior. Because He walked the Via Dolorosa for us. We just celebrated Easter. He died on a cross and was buried, but rose again on the third day through that resurrection. What are we to do? What now? After Easter, we are to proclaim the resurrection. Every day. Easter is every day. He's risen. He's risen. And He infects and affects every area of our life. It's not a one-time deal celebration. It's an everyday. He has commissioned us to go out and proclaim the resurrection. There's a lot of hurting people outside this door. It could be hurting people inside right now. The answer is Christ. It's Christ. Remember the leaders. Remember our Savior. But look what He said in verse 9. Remember your scriptures. One of the saddest things that we can have. Look what verse 9 says. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have no profit, those who have occupied with them. He's saying, you know what? Yes, remember our scripture. One of the saddest things that can happen in the church is when the wrong doctrine, when God's word is not preached. Man's agenda, the world's agenda, it infiltrates and infects the church if we're not careful. But remember the scripture. Christians, we should know when somebody, if I get up here and preach to you something contrary to this word, you should be the first to know that's wrong. That's wrong. That's your responsibility, by the way. Whoever stands behind this pulpit is preaching you the unadulterated word of God. Remember your scriptures, so we should be a student of the scriptures. Don't be carried away. Here's the deal. When we're carried away by false doctrine, we lose our joy and we lose our testimony. There's a whole world out there, listen, that wants you to embrace things that are contrary to this word. That's what it desires, because it knows if you embrace things that are contrary to this word, first thing, I have to question your salvation. Okay, why? Because if I have the Holy Spirit of God and I go against His word, something's wrong. Do you understand this morning? Something's wrong. But then we want to fall under the umbrella of God's love and get by and do anything that we want to do because it's our sin and we love our sin. That's what we want to do. But it's because we're biblically illiterate. That's our problem, is we need to remember our scriptures. We should be able to detect false teaching. In other words, when somebody asks you, where do you stand on this? You don't give them your opinion. That's what everybody wants to get. You say, what does the Word of God say? What does God's Word say? That means you better know what it says, hadn't it? We should be students. And so all these different things that come down the pipe that we don't know where we stand, it has nothing to do. All it is we don't know what God's Word says. And when we know what God's Word says, you know what we establish and all? And then it's not our opinion. Then it's not about us. It's about what God said and being obedient to what His Word proclaims. The author reminds that they are strengthened, it's by grace, not legalism. Do you understand? Listen to what he says. Established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who are occupied with them. See, the Jewish brethren were coming in. These are Jews being saved, but the legalistic group, the Judaizers, were coming and say, but then you still have to eat kosher. You still have to do these things. You still have to observe these things if you're going to even to be a Christian. You know, and the author is saying, listen, legalism never gets us anywhere. Do you understand that? It's not because what I do or I don't do. The reason I am affected and infected by the Word of God and I live this way is because His Word tells me to. It doesn't make me right with Him. It's what, because I am right with Him, I'm going to live out what it says and I'm going to live in obedience. It's not about regulations. Jewish dietary laws were a part of their heritage. Come on. We're just as steeped in our traditions as anybody else. They tried to influence the church to take them up again. You know what the author's saying? Listen, the old covenant has been abolished and been fulfilled in Christ. Go to the new covenant, and we'll talk a little bit more about that liberty that comes in that in our next session. We live by grace and by His Word. We're steadfast in our faith, but look what, secondly, be steadfast in our separation, verses 10 through 14. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the body of those animals whose blood is brought to the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the camp. Therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. You say, man, these are some of the most difficult scriptures in the context of Hebrews. But what the problem is we've got to go through Jerusalem before we can get to Todd. Do you understand? For just a minute. What's He talking about? He's talking about the Day of Atonement. He's talking about when the high priest would go in and he would offer that. First, they would have the sacrifice, the animal, and then they would go in and the high priest would go in once a year, Day of Atonement, and offer that blood sacrifice upon the altar of God. And here's the deal, but then they would take that, what was left over of that sacrifice, and they didn't eat it like they normally would, but they'd take and burn that. Why? Because it was wholly consecrated unto the Lord. And that's what He's given a reference to when He says, rather than eating the right foods, as the old covenant commanded, the new commandment, we feed on Christ. We feed on Him. He is our bread. He is our manna from heaven. We is referring to the author and his fellow Jews. And he's referencing back to the old covenant. He says, listen, if you're holding on to that old covenant, if you think it is still about offering animals, blood sacrifices, he said, you can't eat at this new altar because you're holding on to that which God has said He's fulfilled in Christ. That's what the statement says. Have no right to eat. You see, you can't hold on to the things of the past and embrace the things of Christ and make those two work. Do you understand? That's our application here this morning, by the way. Because He's called us to be steadfast in our separation. Be holy as He is holy is what our next month's memory verse will be. God's called us to be holy. We don't get this preached a whole lot, so listen real carefully. In most of our churches, do you understand when you come to know Christ, you become holy? And what does holy mean? Separate. Separate from the things of the world. Separated from the things that men say are okay. It's gonna make so. He says the believers, as believers, they go outside the camp. They go outside of the old covenant. It's no longer these rituals and routines. It's no longer the need for an animal sacrifice. Praise God, Jesus' sacrifice is all that we need. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen closely. We should be separate from the world. I'm not talking about legalism now. Legalism, but I'm also not talking about Christian liberty that allows me just to do any old thing. That's where the pendulum swing. Just do any old thing. You say, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you, what are you watching on TV? Some of the things, listen, it's garbage. It ain't nothing but illicit sex and strong language and all that. But what a great show! It's entertaining! Is that what God has called us to? We listen, we watch, we do all kinds of things. We're no different from the world. Then when we see this and we understand that when Christ saves us, it means that we should have a standard of living that lines up with His Word. And when I see something or I hear something that's not obedient to God, the Holy Spirit of God should convict me. He should convict me and say, you know what? Oh, that just ain't right. Even it could be good things. Do you understand? Not the best. God's going to make a difference in your life, folks. And I think this is the weakness of our church. We just come under that, hey, we got our get out of free hell free card and we're saved and all this. But if it doesn't change my life and what I do and how I act and how I represent Christ out in the world, is that salvation? Is it? Because it's this walk, day in, day out, walk with the Lord. It's this sanctification that He set us apart to, separated us to. The world is shakeable and its systems will fail. He says, go outside the camp. Our standard, our practices should be different. We should be separate from the things that do not honor the Lord. Legalism never brings grace. And liberty without restraint does not either. Do you understand? We are not legalistic in what we do and don't do. It's not what makes us right with the Lord. But we're also not a libertarian, and because I'm saved, I don't have to worry about doing and following what God's Word says. There's two different handles, but they still lead to the same thing. It's wrong doctrine, wrong understanding of God's Word. Because when we understand these things, when we're going to be steadfast in our separation, we're going to desire to grow in grace and knowledge of Him, to be more like Christ-like every day, striving for that. If we're steadfast in our faith and steadfast in our separation, what will it lead to? We'll be steadfast in our sacrifice. Listen to what it says. Verses 15 and 16. Therefore, by Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Our Christian living will be marked with worship and work, word and deeds. You understand that? It will affect every area of our life. Look at and see how you compartmentalized your life. Christ should be a part of every bit of it. If He can't be involved in it, you better quit it. Anybody say amen? If I can't sit down and watch something on TV that I would be uncomfortable with if Jesus was sitting there beside of me, better turn it off. Why? He is. If He's in me, He's sitting, He's with me. All right? Everywhere I go. If I'm on the internet and I'm not looking at things that I shouldn't be looking at, if Jesus was there, would I quit looking at Him? Listen, He's there if you're His child. Walk in that standard. We should worship our words and our deeds. I love what He says. No longer God wants a sacrifice of grain or animals. What does He want? He wants a sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise. And where? Into the house of the Lord. But it don't just be here. It should be our house outside of here as well. What does He say? He wants the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And how often does He want that? What does Scripture say? Continually. Continually offer the sacrifice of praise. What is He saying? Here's the deal. We all know the story of Mary and Martha. Do we not? We need to be Mary and Martha. Mary in our worship and Martha in our service. We know the story at Bethany. Mary and Martha and Lazarus and Jesus always are friends. He always go to their house and spend time there. And one day Jesus comes in and He's just teaching, and Mary's sitting at His feet. Just sitting at His feet listening and learning from Him. But what Martha's doing? Martha's in the kitchen and she's whooping up something to eat because the people are there and need to be served. You remember the story, don't you? What does she do? She comes to Jesus and says, "Come on, Jesus. Don't you care that I'm in here working so hard? Mary just sitting at your feet. Tell her to come help me." You know what Jesus says? Mary's chosen the right thing. Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about many things. But Mary's chosen the right thing. I ain't going to take it from her. Amen. That's the same Mary, by the way, one day that will open that jar of perfume and pour it upon the Lord and anoint Him. Remember Jesus said she's done a good thing. She's worshiping. But listen. We should learn to work, and we should worship like Mary, but we should also work like Martha. We are to sit upon His feet, but we are to get out and serve Him as well. Worship should always lead to service. If it does not, is it truly worship? We come here not to just be entertained, but to worship an almighty God and Savior, that when we go outside these doors, we take that offering, that sacrifice of praise outside these doors, and we make a difference, and we serve Him, and we infect and affect the world that's around us because of what Christ has done for us and because of the worship that we've had in our hearts. Meet together for one purpose. That is to focus on that one and worship that one that died, gave His life for us, but rose again, that we might have purpose and plan and eternal life. Worship Him, but also let that lead to service. Mary and our souls must be balanced by Martha. True worship always means giving ourselves in work, love, and sharing. Is that not what the Scripture says? But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Do we want to please the Lord in everything that we do? He says, what did He say to do? He said, share. Do good and to share. you know why we do good? Do you know why we try to represent Christ in a lost world? Because when we do that, it gives us a platform to what? Share. Share about the resurrected Lord. Point other people to Christ. Aren't you glad somebody pointed you? Aren't you glad? Well, then care enough about somebody to point them to Jesus as well. This is our time. This is our time. The window of opportunity is for us right now to go outside, to carry the sacrifice, the fruit of our lips outside these doors and look for opportunities to do good and help people, but also to share about why you do. Not so people think, oh, what a good guy he is, or oh, what a good girl she is. Most of us, that's what we want. But guess what? It's not about us. There ain't no goodness in me. Glad you didn't know me before Christ. I'm glad you didn't. I could care less about anybody but myself. But when Jesus came in and he changed me and the Word of God was applied to my own life and I was transformed, man, my whole perspective changed. And I thought, man, there's other lost people out here with me. In fact, I surrounded hanging out with all of them. What I tried to do is start trying to reach them. Oh, did they make fun of me? You better believe they did. Wasn't long, though, before they started coming and asking for prayer. Because there's hardships, there's storms in life. And when they see that you've got something stable and an anchor, they start asking for prayers. And I got the privilege to lead many of them to the Lord Jesus. Why? Not because of my goodness. If they knew me, I could care less about you. But because of what Jesus done in us. And our works, our worship should lead to service. And worship should lead to works and deeds. And we should be all about going out here and looking for people to plant the seeds of the gospel. We can come and sing as the angels on Sunday morning and worship in one voice and sit under the teaching of God's Word. But if it doesn't result in us living and sharing others, is Christ truly worship? That's our question. It is worship and work, and they always go together. What? Word and deed are inseparable. Listen, lip service must be accompanied by life service. Don't tell me. I love Jesus, and I know Jesus when I live different from His Word. Don't tell me that. That's an atrocity unto God. But when I do understand His Word, and I do love Him, means I'm going to make a difference in my world. I'm going to affect my world. I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to look different. I'm going to act different. I'm going to watch different things. I'm going to talk differently. It's going to affect my words. And everywhere I go, I have a purpose. And what's that purpose? Make much of Jesus. Point people to Christ. 1 John 3:18 says this as we're finishing up. Let us not love with word or tongue, but in deed. Truth. Don't just say it, but live it. Let it be based on the truth. Applications and we're done. Linda, come and play, please. First, does your faith change the way you live? Do an assessment of your life. Are you just a Christian on Sunday mornings this morning? Or when you go outside, does it make a difference in everything you do? Number two, when was the last time you praised the Lord with your lips? Say, why? I'm not a good singer. He didn't say anything about being a good singer, did he? He said, we praise the Lord with our lips. And I'm not just talking about singing. I'm talking about telling people about what Jesus has done for me. You in a hardship? You having a rough time? You going through a spiral and it seems like you can't get out of that storm? Try praising the Lord. Try going out and tell people about what Jesus has done to you. You know what? It'll change your perspective on the storm that you're in. Put you on some praise music in your house and just sit there and sing unto the Lord. Why? Devil can't be when the Lord's been praised. You talk about power. Try it. Number three, and we're done. Is your Christian living marked by your worship and work? Let's stand to our feet. Do people know that you're a Christian? It would be so sad that somebody comes in contact with you day in and day out and they wouldn't know if you're a Christian. Or if you ask them, are they a Christian? I don't know. Why? Because we're not doing what we're called to do. And that's to care and to love and to represent Jesus Christ. Let's close our eyes before the Lord. Anybody here lost? Anybody here? I don't know what's happened in your past. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. But anybody here that wouldn't say, here's the deal. If Jesus required my life right now, would he say, enter in, my good and faithful servant? Would he? Would he say that? If he wouldn't, then that's lost. But Jesus is here to seek and save that which is lost. If you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, you can come and receive him. Anybody struggling, storm-ridden, just needing for just a moment to lift up a praise unto the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you even for the storm. That's what the Scripture says. When's the last time you praised him for the storm that was in and thanked him instead of asking him to get you out of it? What's he saying? How are you going to serve him this week? How are you going to serve him when you step out these doors in just a few minutes? Will your worship time today make a difference in your walk and your work this week? Will it? Just a few moments. The altar's open. If anybody needs to come, talk to the Lord. Just as I am. What a fitting verse. As we finish, I want you to know you don't have to walk an aisle to get saved. All you have to do is come to the realization that I'm lost. I have never received Christ as my personal Savior. And I asked him, Lord, I'm returning. I'm repenting from my sin. And I'm turning to you and asking you to forgive me. The Bible says all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But when that happens, you're going to let somebody know. Do you understand that? You're going to let somebody know. You can't keep it quiet. Something's happened on the inside. It's going to affect the outside, by the way. I love you. Tonight, 6 o'clock, Finger Food Fellowship. We'll dig deeper in this great verses tonight.